We just stepped on their face with a hobnail boot and broke their nose.
How about them fucking dogs? That's what I told them.
Hope it doesn't take that long again. Go dogs.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 100 Sanford Podcast. It's your boy Lamar Lovelace, and I am in the building with my man George Foster. It's us two tonight rocking. And the man is about to come on with the smooth, very white voice.
Hey,
what's up, baby?
Hey, man. I know y'all hear that nice velvet coming through this microphone I got now. I finally got a microphone, and I think I sound good. Man, so what you think, Lamar?
Man, look, we can do a tag team R&B smooth type of flow right now.
100, yeah, 100 in Sanford R&B album. I think we can make that happen.
Yeah, you got the hookups on the producing side. So we can get in the booth. Bring Trey on for, like little urban, he can come on, a little rhyme over top of something. I don't know what Graham going to do.
Make it real smooth. Yeah. Graham will be our manager.
Man, when he hears this, he's gonna flip.
He's gonna be mad because knowing Graham, he probably can rap or sing or anything. We just leaving him out.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. Because we started talking about the Quiet Storm. He didn't know what that was.
That's true.
Man. He's never seen The Matrix yet.
Hey, we're gonna reveal something right quick.
Oh no. What you got? What you got, boss?
I wasn't into The Matrix, so I ain't watch it either.
Gosh.
I know things about The Matrix.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Neo and red pill, blue pill. I know the gist of it, but I never sat down and really watched it.
See, we ain't gonna get into it, but that's why people don't know what's going on with Kanye right now. Because he's all over the place. So, and that's why he's all over the place with The Matrix, man. But how was your last week, man? The dogs didn't play last week, but how was the week?
Dogs didn't play.
Yeah.
Dogs didn't play. Went to high school game Saturday, at my daughter's game at Westlake High School, and she's a cheerleader for them. And Saturday I went. Saturday morning, I drove up to Asheville, North Carolina, for my boy Joe's wedding. Beautiful scenery, mountainous. Got all the leaves turning different colors. He had the love in the air. Had the drinks in the system. Outside deal, fire pits and all that. It was good. It was good stuff. Shout out to Joe Scudder and Rachel. They're the Griffins now. Shout out to Joe and Rachel. Had a wonderful time.
Congrats.
But now I'm ready for some football. That was, I handled that well last week. I have no dog football. I had myself busy. Now we back in the mix now. Jayville, baby.
Yeah,
Jayville.
Man. Yeah.
Wish I could go down there.
You and me both, man. You and me both. I definitely wish I could go. During the last week, I was fiending too. I didn't know what to do with myself on Saturday, quite honestly. So me and the boys just did some things. But I had like my little one. He's back in the saddle again, playing flag football. So on Sunday, I had something to do to kind of pick me up, keep me in the game. And then they got dug out. they got beat down so bad. My man was crying. He was crying. He was like, "They cheating, Daddy. They cheating." I'm like, "No, they just more prepared. They just more prepared." So I had to deal with that. But but now we back. Like you said, it's Jayville. It's Jacksonville time, and big time. You know what? This next 4 weeks is going to be something. You got the dogs having to play, Florida, and then we got Tennessee, we got Kentucky, we still got Mississippi State. So we got a lot of games coming down the pipe. And I'm excited about it, though. Like we just talked about, it's Jacksonville. You know, the Dawgs getting ready to take on the Florida Gators, 4-3, fifth place right now in the SEC East, which is not customary for the Gators. But, you know, they are where they're at right now. They started off pretty hot with that early game against Utah, which everybody thought, okay, maybe the Gators got a little something. You know, AR-15, maybe he's going to be that dude. And then all of a sudden, everything started tanking for the Gators. It's been up and down since then. So we kind of know who they are. Your thoughts so far, just on where they stand as a team, before we even get into the whole nuances of the game itself. What's your thoughts on the game?
Florida?
Yeah.
I never put it like this. The Florida faithful, they don't seem too confident in their squad. Like, all around the board, I can't talk my trash to nobody. Like, nobody want to get into it with me, man. They don't want to bet. They don't want to get into no. And they like, oh, man. You know what I'm saying? One of my friends said he conceded months ago. You know, I'm like, geez, months ago? Come on, man.
Yeah.
But from my perspective, you know, being a dog, knowing the rivalry, knowing that Florida is the hotbed of talent that it is, and a lot of those kids go to Florida, I can't never overlook Florida. I don't care what they are. They could be 0-6 right now. I don't care.
Facts.
I'm not overlooking Florida. You know what I mean? So they can talk that modest stuff. I don't want to hear it, because when we whoop them, I'm going to talk the same trash. Ain't going to be no we should have, because I don't do spreads and all that stuff. I don't know nothing about all that. You either win or you lose. And if we win, no, when we win, I'm talking my stuff. But, you know, until then, you know what I mean? They the Florida Gators. They, you know, are they as talented as Georgia? No. But do they got some players? Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Man. Neutral site game. I mean, you can get amped up and you get ready for anything. If you're the Gators, basically this is your national championship. That's the way I look at it. If they don't come in prepared after a bye week themselves, ready to do what they need to do to take down the Dawgs, then they are who they are. I mean, we know who they are. We believe we know who they are. We believe that they're not that team that should go into Jacksonville and handle the Dawgs in any capacity anywhere on the field, quite honestly. But like you mentioned, they got players. I mean, Florida is a hotbed for talent. They are a very talented team. I think, quite honestly, if you sent Kirby Smart down there, you sent Nick Saban down there, they turn that around relatively quickly. You know, then it just comes down to recruiting and, like you always mention, building that depth, you know, especially down in the trenches. I don't think they have that. The skill players, I think they need to elevate that as well. But there's things that good offensive coordinators, good defensive coordinators, good coaches can actually cultivate and bring a team together to actually play higher and on a higher level. And when I think when it comes down to Billy Napier, I mean, it's his first year. And I don't expect too much his first year, right?
And when I think about it, and I don't, it's crazy that this never has crossed my mind, is that the last time I played Florida, we lost to a Florida team that shouldn't have even been close.
Right.
We were a national championship caliber game, caliber team. In my senior year, we won 13 games. We lost one. Mm-hmm. And one was to Florida, a team that we shouldn't have lost to. They weren't particularly good that year. And we went down there. We made a few mistakes. They came out. They stuck to their game plan, which was, it seemed like a dink and dunk all the way down the field with Rex Grossman. And they ended up beating us. You know what I mean? And, you know, I guess that you can say that cost us a national championship. Because we finished third, but we couldn't. It wasn't a playoff situation back then. We didn't, you know, so we couldn't play in the Natty, and so we finished third. But like I said, it's Florida. You know, it don't matter who's the better team when you get in a game like this. You know, it's the cocktail party. Anything can happen.
Right. And even when you look back to last year's game, I mean, it was a 34-7 victory. It wasn't as smooth as what most people believe it was. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it kind of drug along a little bit. And then obviously it was Nolan Smith who ripped the ball out of the hands on the goal line.
Well, we scored 21 of those points in like 20 seconds.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? So, you know, it's going to always be a tough game. They got athletes, man. Yeah. It is what it is. We got a squad too, so
yeah. And I think they get one of their guys back. I think Osiris Torrance, he comes back at right guard, which is going to help them in the trenches. You know, I think, you know, I know again we're going to get into it, but one of the things going to help them to actually stabilize their offense is their ability to run the football. They run the ball pretty effective. You know, if they can get their guys running the football and actually keep the ball out of AR's hands, you know, on third down and longs and things like that, they're in a better position because I don't think they're explosive enough on the outside, especially with their wide receivers, bigger wide receivers, not as quick, not as fast, not as rangy to actually get through our secondary, quite honestly. But if they can run the football effectively, they can cause some minor issues for the Dogs. And it's one of those things as well, too, getting into having to prepare for next week as well. Tennessee's going to want to do the same thing. They have to be able to run the football to be able to keep Georgia off balance and not being able to just bring the Dogs at them for next week for hookers. So,
because you don't want to get – you want to run it – well, that's next. We'll get on that next week, you know. But they definitely have to run the ball too.
Yeah, they definitely do. And you know what? Like you said, nobody wants that smoke right now. I mean, I even threw something out there on the chat, you know, for the roll-up chat. You had put that tweet out. With the snake eating the rat, with choking out the mouse or whatever. Mm-hmm. Man, nobody from Florida want to talk. I said, man, this is how we going to choke y'all out. And nobody saying nothing. Silk ain't saying
they don't want to talk, man. It's something, you know what I'm saying? It's like that with Florida people, man, sometimes. You know, homegirl Reed, you know what I'm saying? Rita, she ain't talking that trash this year. And I tried to bait her. We're talking about the NFL chick on Twitter. If you guys listen, follow the NFL chick. You know, she knows the game. You know, they have a podcast, Gridiron Girls. You know, they do good stuff. You know, they talk about the game with sense. A lot better than some of these idiotic dudes that online. But I tried to bait her into talking trash 1 year. When we were supposed to go down there and spank them, and they actually end up whooping us, you know what I mean? So, you know, I don't know what's up with these Florida people, man. These Florida fans, man, they're a little fair weather, man. I'm disappointed.
Well, you know, right now they're a little down because they had an announcement that was about to happen. Kamani McClain, who was supposed to commit to Florida,
he went to Miami, right?
He went to Miami, so I know they're really down. That's the five stars.
I was wondering if I saw that right. They was talking. Silk was talking about that on the roll up. I joined the fella at the roll up live yesterday.
Yeah,
you know, I finally got on and it was talking about that. And I have nothing to say because we weren't in the running. You know what I mean?
But we good. We good. We yeah. got Dolls. We so got AJ Harris. We got Daniel Harris. We got Chris.
I have nothing to say. So. You know, but man, that's a big blow. You know what I mean? To the supposed, they call them. They say they're DBU down there, but we'll see. You know what I mean? You got to get some Dogs in there.
Big blow for them because one of the things that they are hurting in is their secondary. You know, Troy Dean was supposed to be their all everything safety this year. He's not playing up to the level that he needs to play at. So much that he got benched, you know. So, which I believe is a weak point for them. I think if there's anything that the Dogs want to attack, it's going to be that secondary. It's a youthful secondary. Heck, they even got my man Donovan. Heck, is Donovan's last name? McCory McClain, something like that. He's from Pittsburgh, actually, though. He's a Pittsburgh kid. Balled out up in Pittsburgh. But he's a, you know, four-star, five-star type kid. But they're young. They're youthful back there. And I think if there's anything that the Dogs could really take advantage of is through the air. You know, they can get the ball downfield, utilize Brock Bowers, utilize those rangy wide receivers. I think we got Ladd McConkey coming back a little bit more healthy this week. He had 2 weeks off with that toe injury. A.D. Mitchell is not back yet. We do have Arian Smith, I believe, that's coming back. Smith, a lot of speed.
Yep. He's due for a big play.
Yeah.
Not many people can run with him. we just got to protect. Because if we protect, we got some guys that can get downfield, you know, got those tight ends that are still, you know, beasts. You know what I mean? They can't cover both of them. Or, you know, we still got, you know, guys that can make plays. Like I said, Ladd, we got Rosemay. And, you know, Blaylock is getting back in the mix. We got some cats that can get down the field. And yeah, we hopefully make it tough on them.
Yeah, and that's a name that you brought up was Blaylock. You know, we keep talking about him and keep bringing him up. And all he does is make plays, man. That's all he does is make plays. And I think he's the type of kid that, you know, he's going to be very pivotal as we go forward in the season.
Yes.
Mature kid. He's a kid that catches the rock, knows how to run, you know, run routes. He's very technical in terms of his ability to run routes. And people forget what he was doing as a freshman. He was balling out as a freshman before he got
there. I love me some Blaylock when he first got he was a good player, you know. Doesn't get a ton of targets right now, but when he gets them, he brings the ball in. You know what I mean? So he takes full advantage of his opportunities, and that's all we can ask of him.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I wish Graham was on, because Graham has a lot of updates in terms of what's been happening in practice. But he did mention, as I read, you know, one of the things we talked about offline, Arik Gilbert. You know, he's coming back into the fold, and they're going to utilize him. So you start looking at a three-headed monster with Arik and, you know, and Bowers and Washington, you know, at tight end, and throw Oscar Delp in there and guys like that. There's not much that this offense cannot do going down the stretch. But, again, as we start talking about Florida, I'm looking for Munkin to really dial up some things. He hasn't dialed up a lot, truly, since Oregon. We started to see a little bits of it last week from him dialing up the offense, a little bit more technical. But I think as we start to see Florida, we start to see Tennessee, Kentucky, I think we're going to see a lot from this offense, which has been limited. I think that people don't understand, when you have A.D. Mitchell out, when you got Arian Smith, those guys, those burners that can stretch the field, it limits your offense a little bit, along with the running back room, right? You got Kendall Milton, who was down. The running backs weren't even really at full strength and doing what they can do, and the offensive line wasn't gelling. But now the offensive line is clicking. I think you're going to see a lot. Hopefully this week, I think we see more from the running game to really create that balance. I want to continue to see that with, you know, Kenny McIntosh having another week off to get healthy. I believe Kendall is still out as of right now, but we'll see. But we still got Branson Robinson, and we got the young boy Edwards. What do you think about that?
You say, over on Dog Central, you guys go over there, subscribe to that. You know, we got some practice notes from this week. Graham talked about, said Milton had a good practice on Monday. He isn't sure just about how ready he is to play. So he's not ruling him out, but, you know, you treating his presence like a bonus. You know what I mean? Treating it like a bonus. If we can have him, that'd be great. If not, you know, we got some guys we can roll with. He also mentioned in that wide receiver core that C.J. Smith is starting to, you know, turn some heads. And so he has some good speed. And I'll say he made a couple big catches in practice. So I think we're going to be fine. I think we're going to be, you know, as close to full strength as we can get without two big dogs and AD. And it's not looking like Jalen's going to play. We'll see, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who knows what happens, but, you know, you kind of want to be smart. Are you better than Florida? Yes. You probably can beat Florida not being 100% this year. So you got to look at – you definitely want Jalen bearing down the neck of Hendon Hooker next week. I tell you that much.
Yeah.
So if I would trade this week to have him rushing the passer versus Tennessee pass heavy, you know, offense next week. So, you know, the youngsters, they need to get it together this week so the big dog can get some rest.
Yeah, man. I don't know if you took it, if you even listened to Kirby's press conference. It was cracking me up because somebody asked him how, you know, what does Jalen Carter's presence really mean to this defense? And Kirby, you know, and it was funny to me because Kirby's always cryptic anyway in his press conferences. I swear, like, sometimes he actually just, you know, practices not laughing or smiling in the mirror or something like that. But they asked him, and he was like, come on, man, like, really? Like, Jalen Carter is everything. That dude, that boy can do everything. So he means that much to this defense. You don't have to take him off the field. You know, he can rush the passer. He can stop the run. He can do all these different things. But I can't wait to get him back. But before we go any further, G, you know what's up, man? We got a special guest that's joined the show today. You know, this is a segment that we like to call Going Behind Enemy Minds. And we have a former Gator that's getting ready to join the show.
Yes.
Yes. We have a former Gator. You know, I'm a Gator hater. You a Gator hater. But we got a guy getting ready to come on the show. I'm going to let you introduce him because you guys have a history. I got a history from the sideline. I don't have this history from actually being on the field. But I'm going to let you introduce our special guest for the
evening. Hey, we got joining us this evening. We got the great, the Florida Gator legend. The Pittsburgh Steeler legend. Was it two-time Super Bowl champion? Is two? Oh, they. Oh. You got it. We got.
He working out. He working out.
We got the legend. We got the legend himself. We got the legend himself. I remember this cat when he came on his recruiting visit. I was like, "Who is this big human?" I'm a big human myself. He came on his recruiting visit to Georgia. We didn't get him. Probably a good thing. He probably could have took my position, maybe. But we got Max Starks in the house, ladies and gentlemen. How's it going, Big Max?
Man, I'm doing well.
We can't hardly hear you.
I think he went out a little bit.
You went out. We can't hear you.
You there, Max?
Hello?
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Sorry, sometimes when you're moving, you know.
I understand.
Bluetooth pick up everywhere.
I see what you're doing, and this is one of the – since we're on Thursday today, this is one of the rare times where I can record in the house. I'm usually doing exactly what you're doing, sitting outside of practice, sitting outside my daughter's practice. So I understand what you're doing, man. How's it going for you?
Man, going well, man. You know, it's one of those things. My oldest, who I'm out here watching, she turns 10 on Saturday. So,
oh, nice.
You know,
nice.
Gotta celebrate the birthday. Thank you. I let her know. But, you know, so daddy's going to have mixed emotions at the birthday party. depending on how this goes down.
Yeah, man. Get the party out of the way early, man.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to.
You're on the West Coast.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, so daddy just going to the party salty. and to make it worse, her godmama is a bulldog.
Oh, man. Is godmama gonna be at the
Oh, you know she's gonna be there.
I love it.
Black and red head to toe.
Hey, godmama, you all right with me? I love you. I don't know you, but you all right with me.
Well, you may know her. It's do you know Leah Brown?
Leah Brown. That sounds familiar.
She was a gymnast. She was a gym dog.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah.
I remember.
So that's a godmama.
Go Dogs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I already still owe her the gift from last year, so I'm like, I said, I'm gonna bring it to a party this year. You can have it. Put it in your drink. I got some Bulldog Ice Cube maker, so you know.
Yeah, man.
Pay my penance. Still bad at this day and age.
Still bad. Like, I can't get. What's up with you, Florida guys? You know, I can't get no bets this year. Like, come on, man. Like, I can't get no beds. I can't get no trash talk. I can't get no nothing. Like, come on, man. Don't tell me that the Florida faithful are fair weather.
Listen, we're not fair weather, but we are fair realistic. So let me drop a little nugget here. We played this game. This will be 101 times we played this game, right?
Right.
Sure. This is the first time in 101 years that one of us has come into this twice as the consensus number one in the country. This is the first time. 101 years. So that's why that's why I'm gonna just tuck mine in. You know what I'm saying?
Come on. Hey man, I guess I look at it different, man. I was talking trash in the lean years. I didn't care.
Yeah.
I'm talking about trash.
If Anthony Richard didn't throw so many interceptions, I'd probably feel a little bit better about it. But he's learning. He's a young buck, you know. I mean, so you know, I was like, I'm sticking with him. You know, I went and gave him a great speech. I went there at the end of August. Man, I gave him legacy, phantom. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, hey, listen, this is what we need to do. And they came out. It was good for Utah. And then the rest of the seasons happened. You know,
we were just talking about that before you came on. So you're the one that got them that first win. So, I mean, obviously you need to be down there every week. But what's going on with Florida now? I mean, they're 4-3. You know, fifth place in the SEC East, which is not customary of Florida. I mean, what's going on with them in terms of this season?
I think it's that cultural shift, you know. I think the biggest thing is buying into a new philosophy, buying into a new system. And you got brand new wholesale coaching staff changes, right? You got brand new guys, a brand new facility, brand new processes. And, you know, it's taking guys time to get all on the same page. Like you'll see it in spurts, right? You'll see offense will have a good day, but then the defense has a letdown. The defense will have a good day and the offense ain't there. And I think that's just the part of when you have new coaches, when you have a new system in place, like it takes a while for them to get a turnover, which I know is faster now with NIL, but it's faster to turn over the program than normal years where you say, hey, I'm gonna give a coach 4 years, right? You know, because he's going to get all of the other scholarship guys out. Well, now the era of NIL, you can get guys out a lot quicker, but you still can't get all of them out. So I think it's one of those things where I look at it, it's a building process. And for Billy Napier, I really like him. I really like his approach. I think the guys resonate with him. And I think the coaching staff resonates well. But I still think that, you know, there's still that little bit of disconnect that you still have to kind of get through. And guys have to finally buy in fully to what it is that Billy Napier is trying to accomplish.
And I've been through that too as a player. You know, we went from Coach Donnan to Mark Richt, and he had to bring his culture. He had to bring his, you know, it was a full wholesale staff change. And it does take some time. You know what I mean? But, you know, I had him, you know, I was with them. We won SEC my second year. So it didn't take a ton of time, but the first year it wasn't quite, you know what I mean? We lost our bowl game to Boston College. You know what I mean? It takes some time, and it's like you said, and truthfully, I've only heard good things about Napier. You know, it seems like everybody really likes him. I know, you know, coaches can tend to be, you know, just blow smoke, but, you know, Kirby seems to really like him, seems to believe in him and think he's a good coach. So the program could be, you know, on the rise. You know, it remains to be seen. You got to get players, though. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it looks like so far they're doing pretty good on the recruiting trail, you know, as opposed to, you know, what Mullen was doing. You know what I mean? So,
of the last three coaching names.
Yeah, I got my eyes on the Gator. I'm not, you know, things can turn around real quick, and I don't want to be on the other end of it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, right, G Foss? I mean, we've seen this battle go so many different ways over the years, and especially when you're talking about the East, right? The one thing is, you know, the East is strong and healthy when you have a good Tennessee, a good Georgia, and a good Florida. Like, that's the holy trinity you need to have. And right now, Tennessee's been depressed for so long, and now they've just burst with Heupel in year two.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, I'm looking forward to that matchup in 2 weeks. And, you know, I look at it and I say, you know what? I mean, this is what you want. This is the parity we want. We don't want to have it to where you're just picking Bama every year to be a top dog, just knee-jerk reaction. Like, you want to have a healthy conference top to bottom, and East and West divisions. And especially before you get Texas and Oklahoma in here, you want to make sure all the originals, the OGs, got their stuff together. So that when they come in, you know what I'm saying, they file in, they're like, they're going to come in like Mizzou on the first couple of years. Remember, Mizzou was on the tear.
On the tear.
And it was, it was like, wait a second, hold up. We're looking around like, what is going on?
Then it got their reality set in.
Yeah, exactly. They said, like, yeah, this ain't going to work.
People sat them in the corner right fast.
Big Max, you mentioned, you know, the last three coaches. But when you look back, since your time, it's been 10 coaches that have gone through Florida.
Wow.
Jeez, how does Florida?
For real?
Yeah, man, it's been 10 coaches, including Ron Zook. But
okay,
how does Florida get back to that swagger? I mean, I was even listening to the Miami guys, and they were talking about, DJ Williams was talking about, how do we get that swagger back at the U? And he was talking about the disconnect between the old school to the new school. What does Florida do to get that swagger back, to put them in that back in that holy trinity, as you just called it?
Well, I think it's having your former players around, right? It's having, you know, like I got to go speak back. I ain't been back on campus in 12 years. So, you know, it was a huge thing for me to step on campus in Gainesville and to just see how much has changed since I was last there. Like, hell, the Swamp ain't even across the street from the stadium no more. Like, that's just kind of, I think that was the biggest disconnect we had. You know, Urban tried to have it a little bit, but he wanted his control, you know, and so you kind of push guys away that weren't his guys. And I think also I had no relationship with Muschamp, McElwain, or Mullen. And so, you know, the fact that Billy reached out and was like, hey, we want you to come back to campus. I know you're calling the game in Jacksonville for the Jags, but, you know, how does the schedule work out? You know, and so I drove down from Jacksonville after our preseason game. And they had an alumni weekend there the weekend before I got there. So it's like, that's the biggest thing, is how do you connect your former players? I mean, a bad example, but, you know, they always stay in people's minds. Dallas Cowboys, right? Once a Cowboy, always a Cowboy. Cowboy for life. Like, if you put on a star in practice, come on back.
Yeah, for real. That's for real.
We got you.
That's for real.
I think that's also what makes Clemson so good, right? Dabo's so engaging with his former players. He wants them there. He wants them around. And I think for us as the SEC, we kind of get siloed a little bit with our programs because the coach is always worried about the next player instead of worried about the path that was laid for you to get that multi-million-dollar facility.
Yeah, I think Kirby.
For you to get these – yeah, go ahead.
I think Kirby did a good job of that too, man. I went back since in his regime. I've gone back. Now, no disrespect to Coach Rick. You know, Rick was cool too. You know what I mean? We used to go back. But there are specific things. Like, there's a tailgate that the former players come back to every single home game. Now, like Kirby and Jonas Jennings, they put that together. Guys from the NFL that want to come back. And, you know, and just hang out. You don't even have to go to the game if you don't want to, because they got the TVs out there, they got the food, they got the drink, and you don't pay nothing. You just go, you show up, and having those former guys around, you got to, you know, you bring, especially in Florida. Florida has won recent national championships. Bring those guys, you know, back. You know, you got to have something. Mm-hmm. You got guys that are, you know, 18 years old. They have no idea who Riedel Anthony is, who Javon Curse is, who Danny Werfel is. They have, you know, they don't know. Like, so they don't know what the legacy is and what the standard is. You know, they don't, you know, they might know, you know, say, of course, everyone knows Tebow. You know, they might know Percy Harvin. You know what I mean? But, you know, getting them back and to see what that legacy looks like, and that kind of changes, you know, the culture. You know, Kirby does good. Kirby, you know, Kirby couldn't get away with not connecting with guys because he's so young. Like, I played with Kirby. He's the whole
– I was about to say, you played with Kirby, and he's a former player. So if anybody should understand, it should be him.
Yeah, people would be looking at him sideways if he wasn't inviting to, you know, the last generation of guys, you know what I mean? So you probably hear from some peers around the league that you play with that their schools don't invite them back. you know, kind of shun them, actually, some of those schools. And that's not the way to do it. That's not
well,
the way
yeah, to do I mean, it at all. Even think about, like, remember when you used to get them little swag bags, you know, mid-season from the school? You get the little fit, you get a little half zip, a polo, a t-shirt, some shorts or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that made you feel good. And then you saw when the coaches changed, like the boxes changed, or the boxes didn't show up at all, or some dudes all in your box because they ain't get no box.
I've been the guy that didn't get no box before. You know, I got stuff like early on when I was working for the Rams. I'll be walking through the locker room. I see girl in them. They got the firebox. And I'm like, where my box? Hey, they used to give us like a program. And maybe, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it changes. It needs to be a standard across the board, though, and not changing with every regime.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly where it starts. And I like what Billy's trying to do with re-engaging them. I've been trying to work with their player development department because Vernell Brown is in their offices. Mm-hmm. So trying to talk to Vernell, and they got a new assistant there, just trying to create more opportunities for guys to see guys in the off season where guys can almost like mentorship. I mean, the way the NIL has changed, it allows us to be around the kids more. You know, before it was like, whoa, you're a booster, you're an alumni, you can't talk to active students. It's like, what am I going to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, in all intents and purposes, like, what can I do that's going to sway them one way or another? Oh, my gosh. You know, he might get an extra sack. No. You know, I'm like, these kids should be self-motivated because they know what the ultimate goal is. And I think now they're starting to realize that. And it's opened up because of these new rules and everything. You know, because I was like, you're going to go hire a speaker to come speak to the team about financial literacy, right, for the NIL stuff. Mm-hmm. I guarantee we got 3 or 4 alumni that played on the team that are now in financial management
or wealth
management.
I'm like, a lot of cats that I played with, that's what they went into.
Yeah, so why are you paying these other people? Well, you can get alumni to come in and do it. And they'll have a more vested interest and be able to give you a more realistic perspective because they were you at one point. And I think that's the one thing that I always kind of always lean back on in my time, you know, with the PA. On the NFL side and some of the stuff I'm doing now on the former player side out here in our Phoenix chapter is trying to just change the narrative, right? I think that's the biggest thing. You're fighting years of one way, and you got to reprogram yourself. You got to come from a fresh perspective, and that's why I think our schools, that's why I think we'll be okay. We're on the track, but I just think it's going to be next year you're going to see a splash, or maybe the following year where we start to get back to that prominence. But it does take time at the end of the day.
Well, you know, you do got the big game coming up this week, and you know, something that you're well familiar with, that G's well familiar with. What would be the mindset of, you know, especially with a Florida team coming in 4-3? I hate to say it again, 4-3. Your boys are down. Mm-hmm. But going into this big game in Jacksonville, what would be the mindset? I mean, you played in it.
What? There's no secrets. There's no secrets at all. Shock the world. That's the only mindset you can have coming into this game. Mm-hmm. Go and do the unexpected and unpredictable and just allow it to be. And, you know, like I said, there is no tomorrow. Like, this is your biggest game, Florida. This is it. There's no other big ones on the schedule. This is the bullseye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't just come in there and think, oh, we're saving it. No, ain't no tomorrow. You know, there's nothing else to play for. If you come out here and you get waxed on Saturday and you forget who Brock Bowers is, you forget who Conkey is, and you just let Jalen Carter go roughshod and Brinson, you know, because I had y'all's game already this year. I had y'all at South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched Brock Bowers.
I didn't know you were there.
Yeah. I was there. I was up in the booth calling for ESPN. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I was like, so y'all just forgot that Brock Bowers is a full-on tight end grown man just running a jet sweep? Y'all playing hide and go seek amongst the Redwoods? You just forgot he was there?
It's grown man right there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's an NFL tight end room. I mean, you know, I mean, I think that's kind of how you have to look at it. So you can't get enamored, or you can't lose sight. Like, you have to be disciplined in this game. I mean, because there's games, even when we played G Falls, I mean, there was games we came in as underdogs before.
My senior year. My senior year. We just talked before you came on. My senior year, we lost one game, and it was to Florida. And that Florida team should not have beat us. You know what I mean? You guys, y'all took that ball, threw it out to that sideline with Race Grossman, like, down the field, up and down the field. We had a few plays. I had a major, you know, 15-yarder. You know,
we'll bring that up later.
My boy dropped the touchdown.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? A few things happened, and we ended up losing. Our only game in the year, we won 13 games that year. The most games in Georgia history up until, you know, a few years ago maybe. And we lost that game. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's Florida, Georgia. It's Georgia, Florida. Mm-hmm. There's, like, throw the records out the window. Like, literally. You can literally throw the records out the window. Because, like, that was a national championship team my senior year. And it cost us, you know what I mean, in the end. Because we ended number three. You got to be top two to go to the Natty, you know, before the playoff era. And like, this game is sandwiched in between, well, not sandwiched. It's set up for Georgia to, you know, if they're not focused, you know, maybe not do so well, because everyone's, hell, I'm set to go to Tennessee next week. You know what I'm saying? Normally, I probably would have been trying to get down there to Jacksonville this weekend. I say, you know, I'm cool on Jacksonville this weekend. But me and my pops, we going to that Tennessee game. You know what I'm saying?
Salute.
Just assuming there's going to be two undefeated teams. You know what I mean? Just, you know, assuming that. And, you know, you can't overlook them. I can. I'm not on the field. You know what I mean? Yeah. But those guys in the locker room, they can't overlook Florida. Looking at Tennessee for next week, do you agree with that?
Oh, I completely agree. I mean, because this is like, this rivalry is unique, right? It's just like the Iron Bowl. It's just like the Egg Bowl, where, you know, shit, it's family, it's friends, and y'all across the border. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like when you saw your cousin last year at the family reunion cookout, and right. You know he owe you $20, and he ain't paid you $20 yet. You know you're going to see him. And you've been doing push-ups and you've been working out. It's like, hey, listen, we don't have to talk about this. We can handle this
it's
two ways.
It's on site.
It's on site. I'm ripping up. Or the homeboy that was like, yeah, man, no, you good. I told you I was going there, but I ended up going here, and now he'd have left you SOL. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's receipts, and there's sometimes the rent comes due.
Man.
And so that's how that game is, all the way.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting, I mean, now it's coming up. Everybody's talking about it because obviously it is the big game this weekend. But now the talk is, should it be home and away, a home and away series? What are your thoughts on that? Because, I mean, I got two guys that have played in it. You never played at Athens. You never played at Gainesville, George. So what are your thoughts on this rivalry? Should it continue to be played in Jacksonville? Or should it be a home away and maybe a neutral site every third year?
I'm interested in seeing what Matt's going to say. I have my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how much property damage you're willing to withstand with your liability policy. Because, you know what I'm saying? Because you remember 96, 97, they tried that. They tried the home and home. And
I thought it was just
stuff was getting messed up. No, they did it both, to give each one a home game.
No, did Georgia play in the Swamp?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to say, I thought that was 97.
Yeah. No. It was like 95. It's like 95.
Oh, is it
Florida scored like 70 points in Athens, I think. Like, they blew Georgia out. You know, Spurrier went crazy. I think it was because of Hurricane Andrew? It was one of the hurricanes, I believe, that.
No,
that
Andrew was 92. I think it happened. It was after 92, because 92. I want to say, I think 91 or 92 was Spurrier's first year. Andrew happened in 92. I think it was.
It was 94 or 95, fellas.
Okay, there we go. 94 or 95.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's why I think, like, I would love for a home and home series, right? Because, you know, that also helps both sides' ticket sales. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of having to split it, you know, you can really boost one up and boost the other. And that generates revenue from a capitalist perspective. I mean, but there is something about having that neutral site, like traveling and everybody, and it's split right down the middle. You know what I'm saying? Like, you look down to the goalpost middle line, and you can tell which side is which. I mean, that's a cool experience from my perspective, and from your perspective, George. But know, I think you do want to test the waters again. I think you should try and do it because I think, like I said, it helps each program. Each one that gets a home game, you know, instead of you having to sacrifice it every year, at least try and see what it is. Because I know Texas A&M Arkansas, I did that game, and that's in Dallas every year. You know, they had like an 11-year contract with Jerry's World. And, you know, you can hear both sides kind of bemoaning the fact that you got to drive all the way to Dallas to see both of these teams, and it would make more sense. So I've kind of eased up on the neutrality of the site because of that, like hearing it from that perspective and talking with different alumni and everybody. And I'm like, you know what? But it would be cool to see Georgia come to the Swamp, right, and us to go between the cages up there at Sanford Stadium. You know, awesome. I remember my recruiting visit. You know, I remember when I went out on the field, and that was another thing about the rivalry. Like, DeCorey was pissed off at me. Nico was pissed off at me for not going to Georgia. Bryant. Man, DeCorey was so hot. That was my high school classmate. He was my host. Deco just knew. But here's my problem, G Falls, and the statute of limitation is on off now. One of the reasons why I didn't go to Georgia was because A, Stroud and Seymour took me out one night, and I don't remember that night. Like, it's just a blank spot.
This can get kind of wild for recruits.
Yeah, no, I remember there was a hard hat and like a tool belt in the trunk of their car because it was coming from some job. I'm sitting in the back. It's me and Albert Means sitting in the back seat.
Wow, Albert Means.
That's exactly. Name from the past. We sitting in the back seat. They sitting in the front seat of like this Ford Explorer, and they just don't talk, just sit there. And then we get to the house, and then I don't remember anything else. Like that was reason number one.
There was a routine.
Yeah, there was a routine. There was a buildup. There's steps to this. There's levels to this. And then also when Pat Watson passed away, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I love Coach Watson. Like Coach Watson was going to be the reason why I went there because I wanted to play for him, and I still got his business card to this day with his face on.
Like, wow, that's crazy. I like that was a sad moment. Like we, I don't know if Lamar is familiar or remembers, but Pat Watson was my O-line coach back then. And after we played Central Florida in 1999, you know, he passed away. He had his parents in town, and I think he was helping them, you know, leave town or whatever. He had a heart attack and passed away after that game. And Pat was good people. I can understand that. You know, you get used to being recruited by a certain coach, and you think that's who's going to coach you. You know, something like that can happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I still got at my mom's house the number 99 jersey, the football jersey that I was allowed to walk off with. still in the house. My brother loves that jersey. But I mean, so like, and that's the thing. It's like, it's such little things in that recruiting process that can just change your mind and your process. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't regret any of my decisions. Like I went on all my visits to make sure that I was sure about what I was going to do. I was like, I'm going to take all of these. I want y'all to fly me everywhere and I want to enjoy it. But yeah, Georgia was definitely, you know, he was right up there. I mean, I probably say it was a front runner until that happened. And then after he passed, I hadn't even gone on a visit to Florida. Wow. I went on an unofficial visit to Florida. I want to say it was like end of November in 99. I just took a day off from school. My mom drove me up there and I went and met with everybody.
I did the same thing with Florida. Spurrier was kind of, you know, they did pick of the litter back then, you know what I mean? So I didn't do an official yet. I did an unofficial, and my unofficial happened to be Peyton Manning's last game at the Swamp. And that thing was turned up. When I say turned up, I've never been in a stadium that turned. Could not hear my mom talking next to me. Like it was insane. You know what I mean? Just imagine playing Georgia in that environment. It would be the same. It would be the same. The same way with the history between those teams, man. It would be the same way. So you know, I would enjoy that if I was a player. I would love to go into the swamp because everybody in football knows the swamp. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't even mm-hmm. know. I know it's Ben Hill Griffin, but like, don't nobody know that name. We know the swamp.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know exactly. What I mean? We know the swamp, and it would be so great to play in the swamp as a player, at least from my perspective. I think they should do the home and home.
Yeah. Yeah, and I agree. I think there's a lot of history, like you said, between the two teams. And like you said, well, you got those close ties because usually guys who are recruited by one school is probably recruited by the other.
No question.
You know what I'm saying? So there's also that tie where you could go back to the school if either A, they looked you over, or, you know, B, mm-hmm. they didn't come here. You know, you got that friction, you know, that little bit of extra greasiness to mm-hmm. make the game something special. And I just look at that would be a fun thing to do, just because, and also because we've also experienced and done Jacksonville, so it's right. Like been there, done that. That's on the list. But for the young guys, like, you want to play in these environments that you hear are so intimidating, right? Like, imagine if you never got to go play in LSU in Death Valley at night. You know what I'm saying? Like, you never got to go and play. Like my one regret was I never got to play against Alabama. I never got to play mm-hmm. against it because they had just ended it that year before the home and homes.
And I got so one
I missed
year.
Them. See, you got 1 year with them. But, you know, like, I remember, funny story, like you said, how you went to Peyton Manning's last game. I went to my unofficial visit for a game was the Tennessee game against T. Martin when Alex Brown had the three sacks.
Ooh. Mm. Yes.
Man, you talk about wild.
That's a game.
Man, and that was right after they won the national championship, too. Mm-hmm. So
it was best that year.
It was, yeah.
The national championship, yeah. It was like two top six teams met in Athens. Yeah. And, boy, they gave us the run.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Jamal Lewis. And that's the difference between, like, our time. Like you said, you had these run – and you had these great teams. And you got to see them – in their stadiums, and you got to experience it. I mean, I know that today's era has changed, and like you said, I mean, if I went up against that Georgia defense from last year, I don't know about you, G, I would have been like, listen, I ain't signed up for all this. I don't know why y'all do it. Even though we went through similar gauntlets, right? Because back in our day, the dang D tackles we had in the SEC, the combos, the tandem. You got Seymour Stroud at Georgia. You got Henderson and Haynesworth up in Tennessee.
Yeah,
you
big
got
money.
Gerard Warren down there at Florida. You got big money and AB. I mean, we had like defenses Ooh. That were manimals, you know, and you don't see that as much now. You get a lot of edge rush specialists, pass yeah. rushers that are good, and some linebackers and everything. The D tackles, you know, so when y'all boys came through last year, it was like, oh, man, I had, like, PTSD from, like, the early 2000s. I was like, man. I mean, looking at them dudes, I'm like, listen, Devontae Wyatt and Jordan Davis, I'm like, dang. I'm like, yeah, I remember them days.
Yeah, those were studs, man.
You know, so with that, let me ask you this then. What's your thoughts on this year's team, this year's Dogs team? I know you saw them up there, South Carolina. You mentioned Brock Bowers. Yeah. You mentioned the offense. What is the major difference that you see between last year and this year with Kirby's squad?
I think defensively, like, you had waves you could throw at people. You know what I'm saying? Like you know, yeah. The starters this year were last year's backups, mm-hmm. you know? And mm-hmm. so having that type of wave, the guys that are behind this current defense, you know, I felt like it was such a poaching of the pantry that they're not as quick, they're not as fast. So and we're always in recency bias, right? We're always going to say, well, look at last year to this year. We're always comparing it. But I think this squad is good. Like you said, you have the guys to do it, but it's the lack of experience. Like, those guys were way more experienced a year ago, mm-hmm. and these way guys more. Are gaining experience every game. So it looks mm-hmm. sloppy when you got to go to the hilt, you know, against teams. You know, whether it's that Kent State game or where, you know, and the games are too close for comfort, where a year ago would have been blowouts. And I think right. that's how we kind of have that grading scale. I think this team, like you said, offensively, you know, we saw that if you take Brock Bowers and McConkey out of the game, you know, it's a lot tougher. They don't have that same run identity that they did a year ago. You know what I'm saying? The nastiness wasn't there, and they kind of get a little one-dimensional. You know, when everything's flowing well, Stetson Bennett's running, and he's looking like, you know, like, wait a second, we got a mobile quarterback. He didn't have one of those last year, and because everything's going and everything's wide open and everybody's so scared, they're playing off the ball on you guys. But when teams say, nah, I don't trust it, and play a little bit more press-heavy, that's when it starts to become more humanistic. Until they overcome that and they have that run identity, that's why it's going to be comparative. But I think it's still a team that can go toe-to-toe. You know, the reason why we're so looking forward to Tennessee was because, obviously, the Bama game and the fact that they've already been against four AP top 25s, and they've won those games. And it's been high-scoring shootouts. And we haven't really seen a high-scoring head-to-head shootout with Georgia yet. Like, they haven't had that challenge in front of them. And so I think that's why it puts more onus on them. I think they have the personnel, right? Mm-hmm. But Josh Heupel's system is one that, because they spread you out so wide and you have to declare so early what your intentions are, you can't disguise anything with him. You know what I'm saying? He's like, we live in a glass house.
Is there you're an analyst, so, you know, obviously you've seen these teams. What's the difference between last year's Tennessee team and this year's Tennessee team? And, you know, they had, you know, one of the best receivers in the country on their team last year. He's been out. What's this guy named Cedric? What's his
name? Cedric Tillman.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He hasn't been there this year, but yet they're super explosive. Last year they had Tillman. They had Hyatt last year as well. But, you know, just take the Georgia game, for example. They were only able to score 17 points. You know what I mean? And so is it useless to reference last year versus this year? Are the offenses that different, or are they just getting more familiar with everybody in that offense?
Yeah, I think it's – we know Hendon Hooker's the man this year versus last year, right?
Okay.
It was identity crisis. You're trying to figure out which quarterback's better. The one boy that came from Michigan, you know, would throw the same ball 5 yards away that he would throw 70 yards away. Like, there was no touch. That he was trying to put a hole in your chest every time. Like, there wasn't that finesse. And I think Hendon Hooker kind of came in as a backup, you know, trying to do everything he could. But you got an offseason in the system, and you also got the keys handed to you. And now Josh Heupel's crafted the offense around him as opposed to trying to figure out what this offense. So that's what you see, that year one to year two leap with coordinator and quarterback. And that's why Hendon knows how to operate in the system. Plus, Josh Heupel knows who Hendon Hooker is, so he's going to put him in every situation to be explosive. And he brings that old school Oklahoma spread offense to the table. And now you got guys lining up down there on the sidelines. So guess what? The safety has to declare. He has to move off that hash, because he has to get closer, because the hash is so much tighter in college. He can't creep to the middle, and you can't show single high or show. You know, you have to show too high if you're going too high, and you have to show single high a lot sooner. So now Hendon's processes has sped up, that he now knows where to go pre-snap on the reads. And so that's what you're seeing with their offense that's making them so good. Until you have four corners that are all man corners to go out there and just run man from the line, run press, and be able to run some invert cover two to them just to freak them out, That's what you're going to see from them, and that's why they've been so effective this year. Nobody can say, I got four top-flight corners sitting on my roster. Like, the team last year, I think of, that would have probably given them a lot of hell that if they were – last year's team was here this year, Cincinnati. Because you had Sauce, you had Kobe Bryant. Like, they had the corners to go do that, and I don't think nobody else has shown themselves to do that, and they haven't had to show that. Teams haven't had to show that, so I don't think they know who their three and four corners are. Like, hey, this kid's good for a nickel, but he might actually be an island corner.
Hated to go forward. Talk about Tennessee. What's it going to take for Florida to become victorious there? Like I said, I'm not a spread guy, but I learned yesterday on Roll Up Podcast
21.5.
You know, how does Florida overcome that?
I think you have to play this game like you did against Tennessee, with less turnovers. Like that's the only way. Like, Anthony Richardson has to be on point, and he's gonna have to generate 500 yards of offense between passing and rushing. Like, that's what it's going to take to be in the contest, to be in the conversation. Like, he's got to have that type of day, but you can't have the young guy mistakes. You can't have the young guy, you know, giving the ball away, fumbling or intercepting the ball. You have to be judicious with the football, and you got to have that day like you did against Tennessee. That's the only way I see them having a shot at this, because like you said, when Georgia gets rolling, it's tough. You know what I'm saying? It's like saying, hey, how do I stop an avalanche? You don't. You have to, you just pray to survive it. If Georgia gets rolling early, say you guys take the first two drives down and you score and Florida hasn't answered, we'll know very soon what type of Florida team this is, because they're good in spurts, but having that longevity success and not having it, they haven't shown it this year, you know, at any consistent clip. And I think that's what the toughest thing is you have to have that out-of-body experience type of game and be smart. That's the only way they got a shot.
We can't let them off without a prediction, though, G. We gotta hold him to the fire.
Now we gotta ask, dude. Now, which hat do we want him to put on? Do we want him to put on his analyst hat, or
any hat he want to put on?
Or his Gator hat? Because yeah, I know me. I'm never picking. Now, luckily, historically, you know, Georgia's always been decent at worst. You know what I mean? If you just look in the record books, so I've never had to really stretch and say, "Hey, we're gonna win this game." You know what I mean? But I'm still never picking against the Dogs. I don't know if that's you with the Gators or not. But yeah. What's your deal for this weekend?
I mean, like you said, is analyst and there's fan, alumni, there's the realist and there's the optimist. But damn it, George, I'm still rocking with my boys. I'm gonna say 41-38 Gators. That's what I'm going. I'm going 41-38. I think they are up to the challenge.
Dogs giving up.
Hey, we got some extra pennies in the sack. Like 9 a game.
Dogs giving up 9 a game, man. 9. Just 9 points.
Once again, until they met us, G. Until they met us.
Hey. I'm just I'm just glad I don't have a bet going with my boy Rand, because he declined the bet. Yes, I'm calling you out, Rand Carthon.
Of course.
But I lost a bet a few years ago, and I had to wear this jersey from this fella that I know. He might be on this podcast. One of these guys
talk
on this
about
podcast.
It. Talk about
I had to put on that ugly, that ugly stinking 77 blue jersey with the orange trim because we lost. And that picture is will be floating around on the internet again. You know, I don't mind putting it on. It was funny, but it was painful. What I really realized is we were more svelte back in the day, because that jersey was tight as hell. and you was a big dude, Max.
Yeah, exactly. You was a big dude.
That jersey was tight.
Man, that thing was slim fit. That was an extra medium Euro cut. But yeah, I never forget. Rand was like, "Hey, Max, hey, I need you to send a jersey." I'm like, "What you? I got this bet going." I was like, "All right, okay." And then when I saw, I was like, "Oh man, you'd have made G-Fall slim into that, man." I'm like, because that jersey gave me hell. Was it the one? Did I send you the one with the look? Because I had to do the extra cut of the spandex. On the
I can't remember. I just remember.
Yeah,
it was tight,
I was like, because I was like, I can't even put this.
People
on.
See that picture now and say, "Oh man, you was kind of svelte." I said, "No, that jersey was like a Spanx." You know what I mean? I had a good. You just couldn't tell.
Yeah, that was that hold tight material.
For sure.
You know, Big Max, before we let you go, we'd be remiss not to talk about it. I mean, you're a former Pittsburgh Steeler. You got one of our dogs up there right now. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm my family's Steeler season ticket holders for 51 years. So I've seen almost every game there is to see. So I've seen every game you played in Pittsburgh. But with that being said, you got George Pickens up there now. So we just got to ask you, what's your thoughts on our dog up there in Pittsburgh? And is he the next great one to wear that black and gold?
Man, I absolutely believe that. Like, what George has done, I mean, you see it every week. There's one highlight picture. There's one highlight every game that he's in where you're like, damn. Mm-hmm. Like, how did he make that catch? Mm-hmm. And that's more like his incredible is just the norm. You know, I mean, even dead leg and a couple weeks ago, we were playing the Jets when Kenny Pickett first came in the game as a starter, he did this dead leg on the sidelines. I'm like, man, I have not seen that since like Chad Johnson. Like, yeah. It was stuff that he does that he makes routine that you wonder at, and it's not even great passes. Like, he makes the pass great. And I think that's something that as we get him integrated more into this offense, I mean, I think he's that guy. I mean, that's why people are talking about, hey, you know, do you think about trading Chase Claypool? Because, you know, because you have another 6'4" receiver that can go do incredible things. I mean, I personally don't want to see Chase go because I like the trend of having two really tall receivers. You know, you look at Cincinnati, you look at Cleveland, all of them got the tall receivers. I'm like, why don't we have our pair? Now we have that guy. And then you have Deontay, who's an undersized guy, who's a route technician. You want to have three of those guys. And I think George has just fit in immediately in his relationship with Kenny Pickett. Them both being in the same draft class and both being young guys can grow together. And that's what I love. I think, you know, I love everything that George has done. Talked to his daddy on the sidelines during the Cincinnati game. And I didn't even realize it, but little cousin, who shall not be named since he's no longer a dog, they were roommates last year. okay. So, yeah, don't worry. I'm sure your fans will start to figure it out. He went across town. He went over west. He's crossed over the Alabama Georgia line.
That's your little cousin.
That's family right there, man. That's little JB Jr. We call him baby.
Really?
But yeah. So I knew about him, but like you said, the injury last year, we didn't really get to see what George could do. So seeing him healthy and that being the first time I really saw him up close and personal at training camp, like he's a fantastic kid. He's got his head screwed on right. I think he can be that next great. I mean, when you're talking about, I mean, Mike Tomlin makes no mistakes when he drafts wide receivers. Like, if anything, we might not have the quarterback. We might not have the offensive line, wide receiver, having a head coach who's a former wide receiver. The dude knows how to go and find talent. At any point in the draft, if he feels like it's worth it, he's going to pull the trigger, and that guy's going to have production. And I think George is one of those diamonds in the rough because he has the combination of size, speed, and that athleticism that can't be denied. Even the best corners, you know, have trouble sticking to him the entire time throughout a route.
Nice. Sure. Well, hey, we're going to let you get up out of here. But before you go, you know, tell our listeners what you're up to, especially the Florida people that are listening, so they can continue to follow you and continue to support the Florida Gators.
Yeah, so you can catch me on Twitter, MaxStark78, IG, MStark78. I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers sideline reporter for the Radio Broadcast Network up there in Pittsburgh. I also am an ESPN radio analyst for college football and pro football. Catch me on SiriusXM. I'll be on Friday. Every Friday, I usually do the SEC Today show on SXM. NFL late hits throughout the week. I got podcasts. I'm on Field of 12. We do a podcast that airs on Twitter and also on YouTube. And I go through all the games over the weekend from college. So yeah, I'm a mercenary. You know, I'm part Jamaican with the job sources this time of year. But yeah, you can catch me on a lot of those different outlets. But usually Twitter, I'm usually throwing stuff up there to let you know where I'm at and what I'm doing throughout the season. Like next week, I'll be in Charlottesville, Virginia, doing the UNC Virginia game. You know, it's like, so wherever they send me, I usually go, and I'm happy about it. But I'm all over, man. So anything college football, NFL football. People can feel free to hit me up and ask me any questions.
All right. Well, nice. Man, Max, we appreciate you coming on the 100 Sanford podcast. Continued blessings to you. I mean, obviously, you're a former Steeler, so I'm always going to support you, even though you're a Gator. Yeah. I'm always going to be a Gator hater. I'm just going to let you know.
Yeah, hey, nothing wrong. Hey, listen, all's love, you know, in war. So I appreciate it. Just like G-Foss is my dog. 363 days a year, spending 24 hours afterwards to take the pill. You know what I'm saying? So it's 48 hours where I don't like G-Foss. But other than that, I mean, that's my brother, man. And, you know, like I have a lot of close Georgia Bulldog friends. You know, Arnold Harrison being another one of those, my teammate in Pittsburgh.
My guy.
For a long time. I mean, so, you know, we have a good connection.
Every day.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? So we got those connections, man. And it's all fun, man. It's all fun.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. So blessings, man. Thank you guys for having me on. And I'm going to have to say it. Go Gators. I mean, before I get off the cast, I mean, just to let y'all know how I'm feeling. Don't worry, it's now in the ether. Forever on the 100 podcast, you know, Sanford podcast. Yeah, Max said go Gators on our podcast. Absolutely.
Man, I think our ratings just went down.
Yeah. Time stamp it. It just went up in value. I think you got two new subscribers. Just to be saying that right now.
All right, Max. Happy birthday to your daughter, man, and be safe. We appreciate you, brother.
All right, man. We appreciate you, man. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right.
All right, G-Foss, that was your boy, Mad Max. I mean, like I told him, you know, he's always going to be a fan favorite of mine. Former Pittsburgh Steeler, you know what I mean? Yep. And I respect anybody that's played the game. I don't care where they played at. You know, if you're a great player, you're a great player. I mean, I like your team, but I'll always support any guy that's out there doing his thing. So what were your thoughts on his thoughts regarding this big game coming up? And, you know, we can kind of dig into that just a little bit more.
You know, He seems to have the sentiment of most, you know, Florida Gator fans, you know, around this year. You know what I mean? They've had some, you know, some disappointments this year. So, you know, it's understandable that they don't seem very optimistic about, you know, Georgia game. They ain't got nothing to do with me, though. They're still Florida. So until that game is in the bag and we have more points than they do when those zeros hit the board, you know what I mean? I still give them that respect. I'm gonna talk my stuff, but you know they got my respect.
Yeah, I agree with him with when he was talking about AR. I mean, in order for Florida to really be in this game, he's got to be so clean. I mean, he's got to be clean like nobody's ever seen clean. I mean, he's got to be able to throw for 250, run for 100 himself. That run game's got to be going. They can have no turnovers. And like I had already mentioned, that defense has to be clean because Georgia's going to expose some things. There's no doubt about that. And I think the area that they can be exposed, like I mentioned earlier, is the secondary. It was Donovan McMillan. That's who I was thinking about. The young boy from Pittsburgh, but you got Kamari Wilson, who I think is going to start this game as well. So they're young on the back end. Yeah, man, they're real young. They're going to be without Devin Moore, one of their corners. I mean, so everybody's going to step up, and they still got the young kid Jalen Kimber that actually transferred from Georgia.
Georgia transfer.
Yeah, man. So that's going to be a big game for him. I think last year he was there, but. I just don't see them having the horses that can actually stay with Georgia. I really think that now with this offensive line, really as well, getting that extra week off, too, to get the body healthy, I just can't see Florida sticking in this game, man. I don't see there's any scenario that they really do so unless Georgia completely implodes on itself, you know?
Yeah. You know, of course, picked the dogs, gave my prediction on roll up, and I'm, you know, when we do ours, it'd be the same thing, so I could be consistent.
Well, let's be consistent. What's your prediction on this game? What's your prediction?
I think the dogs, even though the dogs only give up 9-10 a game, mm-hmm. I'm going to say they win 42-17. Mm-hmm. You know, if we score 42 points, that probably means – we're beating them pretty good, so we might have some youngsters in the game that, you know, give up a little something. So I say 42-17.
I got 38-16. I think Florida gets a touchdown, but I think obviously, you know, the field goals really start to play a part. Georgia has not been – they've been pretty stingy when it comes to, you know, giving up touchdowns, obviously. And I think once they get inside the red zone, these guys really truly lock in. And it's interesting because, you know, again, I was listening to the Florida guys. I'm sorry, the Miami guys talk, and they were on the I Am Athlete podcast, and they were talking about how, you know, their first teamers would talk to their second teamers and get pissed off if the second team gave up a touchdown. I think we got to get back to that as a unit and to get really, really nasty and vicious, you know, towards the last five, six games of this season to get the same way. And I think it's going to be pretty stingy this the rest of the way out, especially in a big game like Florida. I think Nolan Smith has been there. He knows about this game. He's the leader of this defense. Chris Smith is a leader on this defense. These guys aren't going to want to give up touchdowns. They're going to want to really put their stamp on their last time playing the Gators. And I think if anything comes out of it, it's going to be some field goals by Florida outside the red zone. So I'm going 38-16. And I think we pulled off with a, you know, obviously with a victory and get ready to play Tennessee. My biggest deal is
we got to stop. Yeah, and we got to stop the run. Because there's the only chance. There's the only chance. We can't have any letdowns in the run game, any explosive plays, because they got the athletes to house it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, don't want to give in any of those letdowns in the run game. Be sound in the run game. Force AR to beat us with his arm. And I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, and I already mentioned, you know, Osiris Torrance is coming back. That's one of the guys that can help, you know, stimulate that run game. They have not been consistent on the offensive line, and he's one of those guys that can actually help anchor that offensive line. But, again, I think our defensive line, you know, the way Trey Scott has been doing his thing and bringing those guys in and rotating those young guys and getting better throughout the season, I think you're going to see a lot more pressure. And that's the other thing, too. I want to see more pressure from this defensive line. I want to see those guys some havoc plays up front, because I think that's going to cause a lot of problems for AR and that whole offense. If those guys can actually generate some pressure, it's lights out from there. I think, you know, Florida will turn the ball over quite a few times and Georgia will just do their thing.
Yeah, I think this team is trending up. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sticking by that. I think they, you know, they've left some stuff on the field. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Left some more to be desired, and they're still number one with, you know, a top five defense scoring and total defense, top four. They're, what, top two offense?
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, they're a good team. You know, they're maintaining their spot as top dog while still not being 100%.
Right.
You know what I mean? They, you know, so that's pretty impressive. This shout out to the staff, the coaching staff over there is like, you know, we're not anywhere near where we're gonna be, and they're still number one in the country. Still, you know, statistically pretty good team.
Facts.
So I think they're trending up.
Facts. Well, we already mentioned the recruiting update for Florida, but you know, we got to talk about real quick. The Dogs landed Chris Peel, North Carolina product, this past week. He's going to come in, probably be that DB, that safety, that star. Great kid, smart, instinctive. He's a leader. You know, another testament to how this team really recruits. And, you know, you got some things that are happening right now in Texas A&M where you got some people wanting to jump in the portal. You got Jimbo acting crazy, suspending kids, and you got things happening all over the nation. But you gotta, you know, you gotta give it up to this Georgia staff. They know how to recruit. That's one thing. But they're getting the right kid. They're getting a kid that's gonna fit the system, fit the culture. And you know, Max talked about that same thing. The culture. This culture is so ingrained in how Kirby has set it up and established it. I mean, it's almost like, you know, a hand in a glove right now. If you come in and do what you got to do, put your head down and work, you're gonna end up being great. You're gonna get to that next level. So, shout out to Chris Peel on, you know, becoming part of this dog class. Well, I guess until signing day, right? But also, shout out to the Roll Up Network. You know, that's who we're under. Shout out to those guys, Stadium and Gale. You know, that's the Florida podcast that we also have. Double Fries and No Slaw, 26 Degrees, the Miami Boys. I know they're going to be talking mad noise tomorrow on their podcast. But also, our guys, Dog Central, you know, you brought it up earlier. You know, we're connected with them, collaborate with them at all times. And our guy, Graham Coffey, does great work on there. My God, a podcast.
Great work.
Field Street Forum, that's our go-to for recruiting news. I mean, they're nailing everything. Our guy, Trey, wasn't on tonight, but he runs TT7 Productions. So any other videos you see that come through the One Under Sanford podcast, that's our guy, Trey. And last but not least, our guy, Mitch Pike, who is our creative design manager, who's putting out all those hot fire edits.
Fire edits.
We got people knocking down the door saying, can I get one of those edits?
Yes, sir. And Trey
get to the dogs
videos We got you covered, man. Everything dog over here, we got you covered. Dog Central, get your nuggets and information over there. You know, those guys, Graham does a good job digging up, getting the good updates on practice during the week. You know, Graham does this. He analyzes everything. Yeah. You know, he's watching the Georgia. He's watching the Florida tape now.
Every day.
I believe he did say he was going to be watching the Florida tape. hey, man, we got you covered. Everything, dog.
Everything. Hey, before we go, man, I gotta hit you with something. There was a story. Let's see. I got to go back through my text. I think it was John that said it, that you went to one of his frat parties. You remember going to a frat party that JP had? It was a Delta.
I don't know.
Delta? What do you
think? I don't remember.
I got to figure it out, man. Let's see. Let me see. I got to go down here through these texts. I thought I had it. Yeah, we'll talk about it off here. But There it is. Okay. Delta Tall Delta. He said it was a party that you was. I told him, I said, look, man, I said, George, come on. He was at every party. He was the party. Are you kidding me? Nah, he said he didn't know if you remember going to one of their parties that they had back in the day. You know, it was a frat party. You were with Boss Bailey. That's what he said. He said, I have no recollection of this. Remember, I wonder if George remembers, though. You were with Boss Bailey and you guys wrecked this party.
Who knows? I know I ain't wrecked no party. I was a responsible party goer.
All right, man. But let's get ready to get up out of here. You know, it's been a good show. Again, we appreciate Max coming on.
Most definitely.
But can't wait. We got another banger coming up next week. Another big time guest as we prepare for Tennessee. But until then, hey, let's go out there and knock off the Gators and do what we do.
For sure, man. 100 Sanford, man. Tune in every week. We're going to have some good stuff for you.
Yes, sir. See you at 100 Sanford. Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.
Thank you for listening to the 100 Sanford Podcast. Tune in weekly to hear fresh content from the 100 Sanford Podcast every Thursday, but also with some pop-up shows every now and then as news breaks. You can also follow the content on our website, www.100sanfordpodcast.com, and email us at dawgs@100sanfordpodcast.com. Lastly, reach out to us on social media streams. For Twitter, it's @100Sanford, but on IG, TikTok, Facebook, and other accounts, it's 100 Sanford Podcast. All right, folks, that's it. And as usual, see you at 100 Sanford.